It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, and that means we go to the Setter studio, and Cynthia and Ann are there. Good morning.
Good morning.
And before we go any further, Ann, I like the picture that you posted. It's different than the most of the pictures you post on Instagram. Salisbury Garden Center. To whoever took my antidepressants. I like that. It's different than your
what
normal
does it say?
Pictures. To whoever who took my antidepressants, I hope you're happy.
I know. My goal in Instagram is just to post pretty pictures, but once in a while there's something irresistible like that.
Okay. Yay, Barbara Kruger, right?
So I had to bring that forward to you. All right. There we go. So we've got that done. So job well done. Make me laugh a little bit. And Janet Manko, you're there with us.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. I want to vary from just a second here, Janet, and I think we'll start off with you first, and then and Cynthia wants to chip in. You've got the story on the front page, which goes to A7, after 3 or 4 weeks of already you putting up your questionnaire for people to fill out your survey. You have come up with a plan, and it's a membership model for the paper, and I think we should talk about this first.
Yes, glad to. And, you know, this plan has been put in place as a process, and what we wanted to do first was that survey and see what we heard back from our readers first and what they value, learn what they value about the papers and have them think about that too. And we were very encouraged by the response we received. We received over 300 back, which is great. And we're still receiving them back on a steady basis. So we thank everyone for considering what they value about their local newspapers. And we will use that to inform what we choose to do going forward as far as which publications we retain, depending on what kind of support we get with this membership model now. All summer, Cynthia and I were researching a nonprofit model for the paper, and it's a challenge for newspapers. It has been for decades, and there are some papers that have done it. They've done it with a foundation as part of the equation. It can be very complicated, but in researching it, we learned a lot. And we decided to start because we knew that the nonprofit model, at that point, we believed would take at least 2 years to try to manage. We decided to start with a membership model, which we learned about from a fellow named Jack Clark out in Idlewild, California, who did this with his newspaper. So he had this model set up and shared it with us through the International Society of Weekly Newspapers. And Cynthia and I spoke with him at some length and decided this was the way to begin this process if we are trying to look toward a nonprofit model, because it's better to show some membership, some community input going into the process of trying to become a nonprofit, too. So this all is, as we've talked about, if anybody has read those lead-ins to the survey and also the article in the paper this week, it's all part of the immense challenges that small publications and any, you know, media faces now. In the current climate where people want to get the news from the internet, but somebody has to write that news to be aggregated up there, and especially local news like we do would not happen if small publications like ours didn't do it. And as we've said, almost 2,000 newspapers have closed across the country over the past 5 years, and we are trying our best not to become one of them.
Well, once again, you even stated here that exactly what it will take to continue publishing two newspapers roughly is an additional $100,000 a year.
Right.
I don't think people understand. We have, as a nonprofit, have to put our Form 990 online. And people are always amazed when they see our budget that goes anywhere from any given year from $470-some thousand as high as $675,000. And they say, for the radio station? And you say, yeah, there's just an unbelievable amount of hidden expenses when you are in media
That's right. I'm sure people don't understand that about what you do because they think, well, all you do is you turn on the microphone, right? What's the problem? yes, there's so much more to it. And people might think of it a little bit more with the newspaper because they realize we have to print them and there's a cost there. But still, you're right. They don't realize the cost involved. This is about 10%, the 100,000 of what our actual budget is, and it's that we just want to be able to address so that we can be here long term. Our ownership group has been with us since 1995. That's a good long run for any ownership group for the Lakeville Journal Company, and it's time to look for a new model and. This is what we're trying.
All right. So the article is right on the front page of the paper, and also A7, the different levels of membership, and we'll follow this in the future. But I was talking with Cynthia before we got on air. It's not only the Lakeville Journal or even Robin Hood Radio. Look at fire companies. They are having a terrible time getting people to come on board. Take a look at social service organizations, the Rotary Club, the Lions Club. All these clubs, once again, it's getting harder and harder for people to put in the time. It is something that is much bigger than just affecting media. It affects us all in a lot of different ways. And people that are now paying for ambulance service who never had to pay for it before understand exactly where we're heading in this tri-state region because we're just so small.
Exactly, and we've had editorials about just this point as we've gone along with this process because. It is not just affecting us. It affects all. It's because of the diminishing of the population. All businesses in this area are affected, and volunteerism is greatly affected, as you say. And we need to think about what we want our communities to look like and really plan for that if we want a change to happen or not to have too much change happen.
All right, let's move on now, and I'll tell you what, when a high school with 300, and I mentioned this earlier this week, 330, 340 students can win a championship, an athletic championship, going up against schools that have 400, 500, and 600 students, it's a great story about the Housatonic Lady Mountaineers soccer team.
It's a great story, and Sydney Sagala, their phenom, the younger sister of former phenom Lauren Sagala, did a great job, as did all of her teammates, and a nice story by Rob Buccino. And speaking of that, on the left side of the page, a story by Patrick about reasons to be proud of Housie, where Ian Strever and people from the high school, including four seniors, came to Lee Kellogg and sort of said, hey, you guys should come to, you know, Housie. Don't go to a private school. Don't go out of the area. And they did the same thing at the high school last night. They had an open house, and they had 50 people come just to find out, like, why they should come to Housie instead of going to, you know, Hotchkiss or Kent or something like that. So.
All right. Next to that story, over on the other side of the page, a story by you, Cynthia, about the Attorney General suing the EPA over air quality.
I think everybody around here right now is very agitated about the Cricket Valley power plant down in Dover Plains. And one of the concerns they have is they don't trust the government, and they feel that the government's not watching out for their best interest in the quality of the air. So we have this very active Attorney General right now whose name is William Tong. He's super impressive. He was up here a couple weeks ago talking about prescription drugs and a lawsuit that's being filed about that. And he and the Attorney General of New Jersey are suing the federal EPA and saying that they are not doing their part in making sure that polluted air doesn't come in here from Virginia and Pennsylvania and that it's bringing down our air quality numbers. So we put that in to make sure that people know that somebody is watching out for their best interest.
All right. Below that, and this is a story. I saw the trailers for the movie. I happen to know the inside story of Ford versus Ferrari, and what an amazing story it is. And I was wondering when somebody would do a movie over it because it is just a classic case of what can be described as good versus evil. And you can pick the one you think is good and the one you think is evil because that's what car enthusiasts had to do back when this all erupted many years ago.
Yeah, and so a lot of people had said in the survey that they want more profiles, and so we're starting a new column called Inside Scoop, and the idea is we find a person who's interesting in their own right but who has special information about something that's happening right now. So the Ford versus Ferrari movie is coming out November 15th, and we felt like Skip Barber would be a great person to talk to about what, and actually when you watch the trailer, it's very visceral and you really get the feeling that you're in this rattling fast race car. And I showed it to Skip on my computer at the office while we were interviewing him, and he said, that's not really what it's like to drive a race car. He said, it's really much quieter. And so he talks about his experience as a race car driver, but he talks about the story. He's a great storyteller about Ford versus Ferrari. And Rick Kopeck will be in next week's paper. He is the head of the Carroll Shelby America Club and a race car driver of his own and a very interesting guy. And they'll both be speaking at the movie house on the 15th and the 17th and answering questions about the history of this.
This whole Ford versus Ferrari thing started with Henry Ford wanting to buy Ferrari, and Ferrari just saying no, and Henry Ford basically saying, well, then I'm going to
crush you. It's not even a good versus evil story. No. It's a story of what men can do when their egos get bruised.
It's amazing. But the good versus evil, there were people on both sides which were calling the other team the evil team. It's a great story, and I'd love to see Skip's take on it. Let's go to History's Notebook inside with Bernie Drew, Water to Gas to Electric.
And so this is particularly interesting on the same page as the article about connectivity. And Bernie gives a little bit of the history of how communities had to get together and form a membership group to bring gas to their towns and then electricity and water. And of course now we're all talking in the Northwest corner about whether towns should be wiring having their own municipal fiber optic. And I'm hoping to have an article on that next week with Kim Maxwell from Northwest Connect. But it's timely, even though it's from 1913.
And I think it's a 14-year-old finished first at the Cannonball Run in Falls Village.
Yeah, that's a big age gap around here. we have a lot. And, a lot of fast people over 40. But so the first place winner was a woman who was 27. But we have some great runners here. The Ed McGuire Memorial Cannonball Run in memory of Ed McGuire, the longtime very beloved fire chief from Falls Village.
And it looks like the AHA after-school program will continue in North Canaan.
Yes, and so I believe, actually as I'm reading it now, I'm realizing that we didn't have the name of the retiring director. I'm pretty sure it's Lynn Nania.
Yes.
And so she's been doing it for a really long time and doing a great job. And they came to the town and asked for not only financial support but also help in finding somebody to run the program.
All right, I want to mention once again, the electric cars were at the track again.
Yeah, and you can't tell that they're there by hearing them because they're silent. And they're always there on the day of somebody of some car club that's got a lot more muscle and throat. But so the electric cars come out every autumn, and they race around the small track, and it's a chance for them to take out their cars from storage, give them any tune-ups, but also to recruit students to join their team. The big event is going to be in spring.
All right, and a new location for Brown and Vail. We no longer will see all those ladies sitting in the chairs.
Right. Right. So all the ladies from Best and Caballero have moved across the street. They're now part of Sotheby's, and Emily Vail and Louise Brown are moving their office to the very distinctive red building right in the center of Salisbury.
Patrick Sullivan has the story, Thinking Independently as a Route to Greater Civility.
Another great talk at the Scoville Memorial Library, and we've got a couple coming up. There's actually notice about it, I think on the page A7. But George Goins spoke about the importance of really thinking for yourself and not doing groupthink, and how that would help contribute to civility and all of us being nicer to each other.
We'll move on to the Kent page. I want to go to Willie Yon's article. First of all, parents, coaches hear about the middle school sports plan, which is been presented to all the different schools.
Right, and actually Willie is going to be attending all of the meetings except the one in North Canaan because it's his birthday. But this is a very important issue for parents around here, and there was a very big turnout in Kent for the first meeting of this. Ann McNeil, the athletic director, is presenting it, and we heard a lot of comments from, I'd say, the roughly 25, 30 people who were in attendance at that meeting. A lot of concerns about the busing and the travel, and of course for Kent, they kind of feel like, well, we're closer to New Milford. We'd rather do joint programs with New Milford than drive all the way to some central northern point for middle school sports. So this is a big issue, and I have to say this, we have switched back to doing the town pages for now, which is this is an issue that affects every single town. And so for us to be doing independent stories from each town, it just behooves everybody to read the story from the other towns, because there's going to be a vote, and if 4 out of the 6 towns vote in favor of it, it's going to pass. So it will be worth it for everybody in every town to read the stories in the other 5 towns to find out what the thinking is on it and to see how that vote's going to go.
Okay, a couple more stories out of Kent. First of all, the streetscape debates are not yet resolved.
This is ongoing. This is one of these classic issues where in a democracy things take forever, but it's hard to watch in a meeting when something's been going on for 10 years with two very active committees, and they basically sat there trying to redraw the plan very minutely at this public hearing. And the subsequent Board of Selectmen's meeting, they were hoping to finalize the plan at that meeting. Bruce Adams is retiring. They were going to meet on it again on November 6th. That meeting has subsequently been canceled. And so the new first selectman, Gene Speck, will be overseeing how that goes. It will be very interesting to see how that resolves itself.
And humor and tales from Buckley and Morris.
Yes, Chris Buckley returning to the Northwest Corner to present with his friend's widow, Sylvia Morris, the last book by the famous Edmund Morris about Thomas Edison.
All right, on the Sharon Cornwall page, Cornwall 10-year plan, which all these towns do, is ready for a hearing on November 12th.
That's right, and your 10-year town plan of conservation and development forms the basis of your planning and zoning regulations. The state will not give you state grants until you update it every 10 years. And more than anything, the town plan decides what your town is going to look like. Is it going to be rural? Is it going to be industrial? Are there going to be, you know, houses on small lots? Are they going to be big yards? This is really important for people in Cornwall to come to this hearing, find out what's going on, go on the website. The town plan is there, but Leela goes over some of the highlights in her article.
All right. And Cornwall will actually dedicate their Civil War monument this coming Sunday.
Right. A student named Spencer Marco had put together a study of Civil War soldiers from Cornwall, and they're going to put up a plaque commemorating those that service, and that's going to be their Veterans Day. And last week in the paper, we had a listing of all the Veterans Day events that are coming up this weekend and on Monday.
All right. And, of course, you've got a nice story on the Kids' Day at Sharon Audubon.
That's always fun. I remember going there as a parent when my daughter was young. So many people are multi-generational going to that, and they had canceled it for bad weather and were able to reschedule it for good weather.
You know, and it's fun. I look at the picture from the Sharon Firehouse. The first year at when we were first signed on WKZE, it was a 250-watt AM daytime station. And that first year we were on the air, I had Dale Jones and I judge the costume contest.
Oh, it's fun. I'm surprised every town doesn't do it.
And it was a lot of fun, and it they still do it to this day, which is kind of cool.
And one of the nice things is when you live in Sharon, it gives all the kids more or less start trick-or-treating at exactly the same time because they all go to the contest, except for the older kids who come out later anyway.
And kudos for everybody staying off the green during Halloween and letting the grass take hold, because we're going to have that same problem with the Christmas tree, but we'll see how they handle that, just to protect the new planted grass. We will go on to the opinion page, yes, Peter Steiner has his cartoon. If I hear the word quid pro quo anymore.
That's right. He gives us a new take on it. And we have a little bit of everything for everybody on this one page this week. We have a column by Lisa Wright talking about aging in place, choosing your own fate. Really thoughtful. Don't misreading it. Every family, I think, is touched by this. If it's not your generation, it's that your parents or, you know, older relatives who are helping through this. Do read this. And letters from Rob Buccino, Kathy Harold Marlowe, and Tom Trowbridge, all good ones. And we talk about governing post-election. Do look for the election results on our website, tricornernews.com, and we talk about how these elections will now turn into the governing of our small towns.
All right, and once again, as you go back to 1919, turning back the pages, John Egan had the misfortune to slip and fall against a post while carrying a one-quarter of beef into the cooler, cracking a rib. I'm sorry. I love those. I love looking back at
it. I wonder how John Egan felt about that story going in.
But I bet you John wasn't a happy camper.
No.
All right. Lots of obituaries this
Dick
week.
Flood from Salisbury School, of course, passed away. Beloved headmaster from there.
Dina Kenny, who I went to school with, she passed away. Sean Patrick Van Dusen. It's a tough time going into right before the Thanksgiving holiday season to lose somebody. Let's take a look at the compass. You got to get by your microphone now.
Hi. We have a Fred Baumgarten, who does such a good job talking about music. There's these fabulous things that a lot of people go to, which are the live operas, the live on film, on screen operas that are at the Millerton Movie House and the Mahewi. And this week it's Madama Butterfly. And Fred tells the whole history of Madame Butterfly, and he talks about Puccini. He talks about why Madame Butterfly was so revolutionary in its time, and how it still, it doesn't feel old today. It's really a kind of a Me Too story in a 19th century way, early 20th century way. But yeah, that's this weekend at the Mahewi and the movie house in Millerton. There's also a very good review of a film that's at the Millerton Movie House and playing widely. It's the winner of the Cannes Palme d'Or, which is called Parasite. It's a movie in takes place in South Korea, directed by a South Korean director, and it's about this whole subculture of people who live underground. These bunkers were built, and then now they're used as cheap housing for families, and sometimes there's four or five people living below ground, and if a car parks in front of the window, you can't have any light in your little hole. And one of the kids gets out to become a tutor in a rich family. And everyone's been talking about this film. And one of the things they've been talking about the most is the spectacular architecture of the rich people's family, of the rich people's house. And it's just somehow he manages to sneak other members of his family into the workforce of this rich family. And it's a story about class distinction, and I would highly recommend the film based on Sophia's review. We also have a art show this weekend at Trinity, which is the fall juried art show, and it opens tomorrow night, Friday, from 5 to 7, and its small works and unframed bin works are also on display and for sale. So go see that at Trinity Church in Lime Rock. And then at Hotchkiss tonight and tomorrow night, tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday is the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, which is a play performed at Hotchkiss's Walker Auditorium. And that's about it that I have for today.
All right. Well, that's okay. You did a great job there. I want to hit three other things very quickly.
Okay, thanks.
My brother's class of 69 had their reunion at Housatonic Valley Regional High School a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, nice photo there. Yeah.
That's the organizing committee. They did a great job. They had a big turnout. That was great for them. Also, the $1 million mark at Noble Horizons, they passed the $1 million mark.
That's very exciting. And of course, speaking of people trying to run their activities through donations, that's exciting.
And the Salisbury Association with the new trees growing in Salisbury.
Yep, you can see those little green bags all around tree bases in Salisbury. Those are water bags, which I'd never seen before, but I'll try that.
All right, and once again, before we leave, Janet, we ask people to read the story, and once again, they can still fill out that survey.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Keep at that. Don't hesitate. If you don't have any of the print editions left with the survey in it, go online to tricornernews.com. Right at the top of the website, you can click in and fill out that survey.
And somebody had commented they couldn't see the survey, and what we figured out is if you have your ad blocker on, it will block it.
There's pop-up blockers and app blockers, and that's right. You have to go into your connections and approve for them to be seen. Yeah. All right. Well, that is a look at this week's journal. We will speak to you folks next week.
Thank you.
All right.
Good week.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal, and of course you can find the Lakeville Journal not only with delivery but also online, tricornernews.com, on Facebook. You'll also find them on Instagram as well, and once again, tricornernews.com on the web.